If you've got your Bibles with you, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Small group notes are there for those who need them. And just to say, obviously we finished our series on Nehemiah last week, and this is a kind of one-off really. And then next week, we've got an opportunity for some testimonies. So if you feel that God has put something on your heart and then you want to share it, can you come and see me afterwards or during the week? Let me know, because that'd be great. It's good to have testimony. It's good to hear what God is doing in people's lives and to publicly let others know. It's good to hear that. So, obviously, we only have so much time, so let me know. If you've got something that you'd like to share. So Matthew chapter 28 in your church Bibles, that's page 1001. And it's verse 16, very familiar section. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This morning I just want to briefly talk about change and transition and the challenge that we have in facing change. The disciples had a huge amount of change happen over a period of 3 years. If you start at the beginning of the Gospels, you will see how Jesus calls them out of a very different context. None of them are disciples before. They're not following any particular rabbi. They are working people. They are fishermen. They are tax collectors, all kinds of people. Who, when Jesus calls them, they suddenly have the courage and the confidence to leave behind their employment, their family life, and the security of money and things like that, and they go and they follow Jesus. And I've always been amazed by that, just the confidence and the courage that they had literally just to leave everything behind. But I guess it was Jesus we're talking about. Although they didn't know for sure who he was. They knew he was a great man of God. They knew he was a prophet of some kind. And certainly when they began to hear his teaching was amazing. Is amazing. No one has improved on it in 2,000 years, have they? Can you imagine sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him, the stories he told, the parables? It would have been amazing. But it wasn't just what he said, it was also who he was. His very nature, his very character was attractive. He was a man who was strong, he was a leader, and yet at the same time he was full of love and full of grace. He was the most holy man who's ever walked the place of planet, but at the same time he was not non-judgmental. He was welcoming. He kind of attracted people to himself, but it wasn't just who he was also, it was what he did. When he was here, he healed the sick. He set the captives free. He released them from demonic influence. He even raised the dead. He did miracles like walking on the water and turning water into wine and feeding the 5,000, all kinds of different things that the disciples would have witnessed in their journey. And they would have had all kinds of emotions during that time of joy, excitement, absolutely awesome journey of change and transformation that Jesus was taking them on, and even within themselves. But of course, there were those days of confusion as well. There were those days of misunderstanding. There were those days where they didn't quite get it. When Jesus said some pretty strange things, like, "If you want to be part of me, then you've got to eat my body and drink my blood." They go, "What is he going on about?" And when he was talking about going to Jerusalem to die. They didn't want that to happen. And then, of course, when that does happen, and Jesus arrested all the emotions of feeling just guilty about their part, that they abandoned him. And the fact that he is falsely accused and he's beaten and he's sentenced to death and he is crucified and he dies, that's another change for them. A horrific change. Because the moment that Jesus died, so did their hopes and their dreams and visions for the future. They thought by this time that maybe he was the Messiah. Maybe he was the one who was coming, and now it's gone, just like that. And there's all that confusion and there's all that grief that they're trying to work through. And then 3 days later, what happens? Jesus rises again from the dead. He's back. And he appears to them. You can imagine just the the bewilderment of it all. The emotions up and down in this journey. And then he calls them to this place to meet him there. I can guarantee you this. That every single one of us has faced change and transition in their life. Why? Because change is inevitable, isn't it? It's inevitable. It's going to happen, whether we like it or not. Much of change is forced upon us. There's physical change, isn't there? You know, you cannot help that. Just have a look at this next one. I mean, look at that. Isn't he cute? What happened to him, eh? You see, my mum might have thought I was cute, and she may have wanted me to stay like that. I had more hair then, didn't I? But it's not going to happen, is it? Because change is, we grow, we develop, you know. And that's right, and that's natural. Because if we didn't, it would be really sad and tragic, wouldn't it? And it is sad and tragic when that does happen. But that change and that transition, that middle one, I am not the same man that my wife married 24 years ago. There's more of me. And there's less of me. But it's going to happen, isn't it? It's physical. Not only that, there's change in technology. Have a look at this. Wow. Do you know, guys, when I was a teenager into my early 20s, I'm looking at you young people at the top there, when we wanted to make a phone call and we were outside, we had to go to one of those red square things. Yeah. And when we made an arrangement, if our friends didn't turn up or we didn't turn up, it was a bit tricky. But now, look, you remember the 80s? In fact, I went back in before that. Do you remember the very first one that the builders used to use? They used to come in to the builders' plant where I used to work with this massive, great, big case with a little phone on it. And they'd be like, oh, they put it down. And they go, what is that? And they go, it's my phone. And, you know, you ring and go, hello, hello. And they get cut off because it wouldn't last very long. But it's progressed, isn't it? Technology. I mean, computers. When I was born, the computer was like that massive thing that you had in a big, you know, office, wasn't it? Now, it's so tiny. Culture's changed as well. Fashion has changed, isn't it? What about this? This is appropriate for Wimbledon. Look at this. Not just the actual game itself has improved and got strength, but the actual clothes. Can you imagine playing in that now? That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? You ladies, you fancy playing in that in this kind of weather? Talking of weather, the weather changes, doesn't it? Everything changes, the seasons. Exactly the same tree during the different seasons. And, you know, that's part and parcel of life and the final one. Wow. Even NMBC has changed over 150 years of history. The building's changed. But, of course, we know that the church isn't the building. The church is us. It's the people, wherever we are. But, look, do you remember this photo? This photo was taken, it must have been 8 years ago now, and it was the last service we had in here before we moved off-site. Can you see little Freddie, little Matty Fuller? Where's Matty? Can you see yourself there, mate? Look, I can't. You are the only one looking at the camera, I think. I was thinking, I don't know what's going on here, but it's quite amazing, isn't it? It made me think, I think we need a new one, okay? So I'm just going to take another one. Okay, smile. You can look at me, you can wave if you want. Okay. And we can put this up next to it. And in another 8 years, I can see who's here and who's not. Fantastic. Excellent. But it changes, doesn't it? Not only the change in age, even in clothing. And we see our associate pastor there, who's next to his son, and he's got his little son on him. My goodness, he has some massive changes in his life and his family's life. He was a pharmacist when that was taken. That was like a lifetime ago, wasn't it? Fantastic. Change. It happens, doesn't it? Change is inevitable. It affects each of us. Change involves loss, or can involve loss. Often some of the biggest changes that happen to us are when we lose people we love. And it can often, you know, be our parents, or it can be our siblings, or our spouses, our husbands and wives, and even children or friends. And they're big losses, massive losses. And it does change life for us. But it's not just relationships, but it can all be jobs, when we lose our jobs for whatever reason. It can be a dream or a vision that we had to do something, to be something, and we've had to let that go because it hasn't quite worked out how we thought it would. So there's a sense of a grieving period that often happens through, even in good times. Change involves movement, doesn't it? Physically, when Kate and I came here 9 years ago, we had to leave not only a place where I'd pretty much grown up and lived most of my life, but the church we've been part of for 13 years and been involved in leading, and then also house. So you're moving areas and jobs and houses and everything all in one go. And there's that kind of physical moving. There's a kind of letting go. But also, it's not just physical, it's mental and emotional sometimes. Sometimes it's not about the physical, but it's about actually letting something go in our minds. Something that maybe that has come to an end. Maybe something that's not very helpful. Maybe learning in the area of forgiveness to let go of something that's been done to us or said to us. And it's about letting go at times. It's about when you see parents who see their children grow up at different stages, they have to let their children go or trust them. Especially when they get to that part where the father has walked his daughter down the aisle and the minister stands at the front here and says, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And the dad normally he says happily, I do. And that's a really significant moment because it is a letting go. It's a releasing. It's saying, look, you know, I'm passing you on. I finally got rid of that. No, you're saying, look, this is moment. I've kind of done my job and it's not completely finished, but this is right. This is right. It's a movement. It's a change. But it's a big change. And there's a real mixture of emotions there when, you know, you're excited because your daughter's got married, but at the same time, you know, it's your girl. There's a whole mixture of emotions going on there. But, of course, change also involves new beginnings. It involves new beginnings, new opportunities, new doorways open for us to be able to experience new things and to try new things in the midst of change. You know, if everything stayed the same, it would get pretty boring, wouldn't it? But it doesn't. And I can guarantee you that all of us have been or are or will be at some time on a journey of transition through all those things. And there'll be some here this morning who are really enjoying their journey. Maybe they'll be celebrating new birth, the change that that brings, sleep deprivation, lack of finances. No, not at all. May the Lord bless you and lovely Oliver. But, you know, it does. Children bring change. But it's a good change, isn't it? And they're celebrating that and they're embracing that. But there'll be others here who maybe their dream was to have children. but they've come to the point where now they realise they're not able to. And that's a change. There's all kinds of different journeys that people are on. And, you know, as they go through it, there'll be different emotions that we face. And whether it's personal or whether it's us as a church congregation, we will and we will continue to face change. We are coming into a season of real transition. In September, when we sent Andy and Sarah out to plant this church over in Mourne Manor, that's a big change. It's a big change for those who go, some who have been in the church for many years. It's a big change for us who remain. And the emotions will be mixed. There will be excitement. There will be a real celebration, especially on the 10th of September when we have a celebration here and we commission them and we send them out to bless that community in the name of Jesus. But at the same time, my goodness, they're family. We have to let go of them and they have to let go of us. It's like a parent and we say, go on, you go and do it. And there's some sadness in that, isn't there? Let's be real. You know, we're not going to have these lovely people with us, ministering, serving, using their gifts amongst us, just being friends in the same way. So there's change, and it's being honest about that. Back to this passage. This passage here, the guys have gone through 3 years of change, and now Jesus calls them. He's risen from the dead. He calls them to meet them in Galilee. And they go. They go. But they're going, and it's not going to just suddenly go back to how it was before. It's not going back to how it was before. There's more change coming. And in the midst of this change, and in the midst of our change, personally and as a church congregation, there are three questions I just quickly want to ask us. The first is this: who or what are we trusting in? Who or what are we trusting in? In verse 16 it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus appears to them, he tells them to meet him in Galilee, and they go, they believe, they know that he has risen from the dead. But when they get there and they see him and they worship him, some, it's just too much. Is this really happening? Is this really Jesus? And there's this kind of tension that's going on. When we're in seasons of transition, when we're transitioning through change, there will be those moments where we think, is this really happening? Is this really a good thing? And it's in those moments that we need to remember who we're putting our trust in and our faith in. You see, Jesus is the one thing that remains the same through everything. He is the one constant. As we've been singing, he is faithful. He is our rock. He is our cornerstone, our foundation stone, on which our faith is built upon. It's not built upon anything else. It's built upon the truth of God's word and what Jesus has done for us through his death on the cross, through his blood shed, and through his resurrection. That's what our faith is in this life and in the one to come. And it's not wrong to have faith and to look to others to encourage us and support us. But if in the midst of the biggest change of all that we are looking to someone else other than Jesus, we may well end up disappointed. Because Jesus is the one. And as a church, it's important that everything that we do is because we're trusting that Jesus has called us to do it. And that he's with us. And as you journey through personally, in your personal walk, you know, there are times where things will happen where you just don't understand it. You think, Lord, why would you allow this to happen in my life? Why would you allow me to go through this pain? It doesn't make sense. And the reality is it probably doesn't. And maybe you will never know why. But I want to encourage you to Fix your eyes on Jesus. To keep on fixing your eyes on him, for he is the faithful one. They turned up. They were there. Even though some of them doubted. Didn't say they didn't believe. They found it hard. This is another change. Secondly, in the midst of change and transition, what has Jesus called us to be and to do? When Jesus, the last instructions he gives to his friends and his followers, he says this: Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." It's so easy to forget what we're here for. Because we can get sidetracked in doing so many things. But the heart of the gospel is this, that we're to proclaim Christ crucified, Christ dead and risen again, and one day he's going to come back. And to make disciples. We're called, that is the calling upon our lives. That's the calling upon your life. That whatever season of you find yourself in, that is still at the very center of who you are. That you're called to be a disciple, you're called to make disciples. You're called to, as we saw last week, to be a distinctive people in the land. To be salt and to be light. That's the calling upon our lives, whatever season we find ourselves in. Or whatever change comes up. This were Jesus' final instructions to them. Go and make disciples of all nations. So everything that we do, this needs to be the heart of it. This is why we're doing what we're doing. You know, I'll be honest with you, it's not making life easy. And on hot mornings or evenings, you think, Jesus, why did you ask us to do this? Because there's a community over there where there is no church. And a community who don't or need to know about the love of Christ. And that just as there's a community around us here that continue to need to know about the love of Christ. And that's why we do what we do. Even if it does make our life more harder. Third thing. In a time of change and transition, how are you going to be involved in this new season? How are you going to be involved? For these guys who are on the team that are going over to Malden Manor, they will be having meetings. They'll be praying and discussing and sharing their thoughts and their gifts and just thinking about the future, where they're going to be. For us who are still part of the fellowship here, or if you were here on the members' meeting on Tuesday, I shared about all the different spaces that were available for ministry opportunities. And this isn't just because of the team who are going. There were already some of these already. Do you want to put it up? These are just some of the ministry opportunities. I don't know if you can read those. This is just our youth and children's work, Sundays and midweek. And other things. These are some of the things that are going to be happening. Some of the things we're going to have to let go. We're going to have to stop. Just because of the season we're in. And others, we just need plenty of people to step forward. To come and serve. Now, I've got copies of these. So if you want to take that away with you after service, you can take a copy. You can pray over it. And pray, and then you can come back and see myself or the leaders of those groups, and just tell them that you want to be involved. That'd be great. But the reality is, change brings new opportunities to serve. It brings new opportunities for us to step out and do something different. You know, quite often what happens is when a group of people have been together for a long time, that if someone's doing a job, no one else comes to do it because someone else is doing it. And it's not until that person moves out or moves away that somebody else can come up. And this is the great opportunity for this to happen. Time is going. Finally, I just want to say this, that in the midst of change and transition, the most important thing to remember as well is this. The promise of Jesus, the promise that he made to his friends and his followers 2,000 years ago and the promise that he makes to each and every one of us this morning when he says, I am with you. I am with you. Not I'm with you on Sundays and Monday to Saturday, you've got to fend for yourself. Not I'm with you if you're good enough or you're clever enough or you do exactly what I say. No, 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 I'm with you always because I love you and because I've called you and because you belong to me. I am with you. May that be in your spirit today. May you know the truth of those words. May you know his presence with you. Whatever season you find yourself in personally and as a congregation here, may we know and may we believe and trust in that promise that he is with us always. Amen. If the band would like to come up, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the plans that you have for us individually and as a church family. Lord, we thank you that they're good plans, they're plans to bless us and to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future. And Lord, it's a hope and a future that you want not just for us, but you want for all of mankind. And Lord, we pray, Father, for our community and for the community of Moore Manor. Lord, we pray today for your blessing to be upon and for an open heaven to be upon these communities. Lord, that in the coming days, as we seek to step out in even further ways and to share the good news with them, that they may have hearts that are open to receive the good news. And Lord, I pray for individuals here who are going through times of change and transition, Lord, that your peace would be upon them, that you'd extend your comfort, your joy, your strength. Father, for those who need that. And Lord, that you give wisdom and guidance and direction and provision for those who need that for the journey. And that for each of us, that we would trust in you, that we would keep on doing what you've called us to do, and that we would step out in new ways to serve you for your glory. Amen.